to stop and think about who he is. I think so often you can get so religious in your thinking that it's just form. And that's not where we want to go. You know, I was at a, we'll just say I was at an event yesterday, and everything, there were some good things that happened, but I sat there and I kept asking myself, what's the objective here? I see what they're doing. I can see this positive thing. I can see this positive thing. But what is it that they want to accomplish? And I think so often we're like that individually. We can do this good thing and do that good thing and actually feel good about ourselves. But what did we really accomplish? And I believe that God is a God of purpose, that he does things on purpose. God doesn't do things for show. But if God speaks, it's for a purpose. If God acts, it's for a purpose. All the ministry of Jesus, his teaching, his miracles, his healings, all these things had purpose. It wasn't just to show, well, look at me and look how powerful I am. It was never about that. It was not necessarily bringing attention to himself. I know that it did to a point. But when they wanted to make him king, he left. You understand? He was not after people exalting him. He had a purpose. He wanted to get a message out. He wanted to be in tune with the Lord at all times and not to let anything distract him from that. This morning I just heard this phrase or question, I suppose it is. I'm here, where are you? That's simple enough, right? But it was in light of some things that I think were probably in the back of my mind. I'm hearing people talk about a great move of God, and they're talking about coming revival, and it's always in the future. Have you ever noticed that? It's always in the future. This is going to happen. This is coming. This is coming. This is coming. And I believe the Lord was just really speaking and says, I'm here. You don't have to wait for me to come. I'm here. Where are you? You know, I started just thinking about various things, but it started with Genesis there with Adam after he'd eaten of the fruit he wasn't supposed to. The Lord did what he always did. The Lord came down just like he always did there in the garden. God wasn't in hiding. And he just simply said, Adam, where are you? I'm here. Where are you? You know, it's interesting how many people think or say or whatever they would like to communicate with God, but not nearly as much as God wants to communicate with you. He's here. And if a person is truly born again, the Lord's living inside their heart. The problem is their heart, and let's just be specific, their imagination, their thinking is not on the Lord. It's elsewhere. You know, I think I mentioned it this past week. You know, when I was in high school, I would walk into that class, especially that English class. I'd walk into that English class. My body was there, but I wasn't. I was gone. I was lost in imagination, you understand? And I think that's what happens so often with people, even when they come into a service. Oftentimes people's bodies are there or here, but their minds are somewhere else. They're thinking about what they're going to do after the service. And that gets in the way of hearing what God has to say at the present. And God is a present tense God. I'm here. Where are you? I thought about Jonah. How God spoke to Jonah. Go down to Nineveh and just proclaim the judgment of God on that city. And Jonah didn't want to. And so he ran from the Lord. You can run, but you can't hide. I'll promise you that. And there's always a negative result to that running away from God. Okay? So God was there, but where was Jonah? Jonah was somewhere else. Consequently, the will of God's not getting done when you're not listening to the Lord. In Luke chapter 19, if you want to turn there, this is a probably very familiar passage of Scripture to you. It's where Jesus is making what we call the triumphal entry into Jerusalem before his crucifixion. Beginning with verse 29, it says in Luke 19, it says, "And it came to pass, when he was come near to Bethphage and Bethany, and the mount called Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go into the village opposite you, in which at the entering in you will find a colt tied, whereon no one has ever sat. Loose him and bring him. And if anyone asks you, why are you loosing him? Then you shall say to him, because the Lord has need of him." Now this interests me. Number one, he says colt, not a full grown donkey. And I pondered on that, and I can tell you that the Lord is looking for his message to go on people who have not necessarily carried it before. You can get so caught up in your religious beliefs and your religious ideas that you really don't carry the Lord. You're carrying some denomination, you're carrying some traditional belief, but you're not carrying the fresh message of the Lord. All of us at one time were tied to the hitching post, so to speak. And the Lord, after hearing the message of Jesus Christ, the gospel, and receiving Jesus, whom the Son sets free, is free, right? We were set free from the hitching post, but there was a purpose for doing that. The Lord needs us, but where are we? It's not enough to just be loosed from the hitching post, but we need to go in the direction God wants us to go. Some people, like Jonah, go geographically in a direction God doesn't ordain. I thought about it myself. I'll just be straight up with you. And it just didn't work out. It wasn't my good judgment, you understand. It was just God's mercy that closed some doors so I didn't go in a wrong direction, because had I gone in that direction, it would have caused me to miss God. A lot of people are located in the wrong vocation. They go for the money. They don't go for what God's called them to do. God puts things in your heart even as a kid. And there's certain things in there that you feel like that's what you want to do. That's your aspirations. And yet through influence growing up, all the attention is put on the money side of it, the monetary value. That doesn't pay as much as this. And so kids today, they don't go to college because they want to pursue a particular thing because that's the desire of their heart. They're trying to get something that'll get them in a position to make more money so they can have stuff and miss God. You understand? Miss God a million miles. Where are you? And then some people can be sitting in a church service And God can be moving, but they don't know it's God moving, because their mind is somewhere else. Their mind's not on the Lord. They don't see the Lord in things. I believe that if you would really pay attention and you get your mind on the Lord, it doesn't matter what you're doing, that you can see the Lord in it if you'll start thinking on the Lord. He gives you wisdom. He gives you understanding. And I have learned, and am still learning, that whatever I do, to include the Lord. You with me? Because I've learned that He's smarter than I am, and that I need His wisdom, that I need His understanding. And it's amazing how He can take things that appear to be complicated and can make them simple just by showing you. So just through a revelation, look at this or look at that. Just a thought. So I've learned to do that. If I'm working on something, then I'll talk to the Lord about it. You made the man that made this. So I know you know how that man thinks, and I know you know how this is made. I'm not asking you to fix it, but I'm asking you to show me how it works. And it amazes me. God never ceases to amaze me. How all of a sudden, I'm going to have to tighten that up. How all of a sudden, you know something you didn't know before. Especially after you've looked at it, you've tried to figure this out, and you've tried to figure that out, and you can't figure it out, and then all of a sudden, you know something, and you think, that's simple. Why didn't I think about that before? Because you was trying to use your wisdom, not the Lord's wisdom. So the Lord is wanting to get us where He is in our thinking. You with me? In our thinking. It's important to be on the right job. It's important to be in the right church. All that's important. You know, we have the college, and from time to time, people will call me wanting to market the college or to do advertising, and I tell them, I say, we don't do any of that. And it blows them away. Well, then how do people know about your college? And then I blow them away. I say, I believe the Lord will send to us the students that He wants to be here. And that's who I want in the college. We're not looking for a big student body. We're looking for people that are serious about God, people that want to hear God, and people that want to obey God. You understand? People that want to walk with God. You know, Amos 3:3, it says, how can two walk together unless they agree? Well, how can you agree with someone if you never hear what they're saying? Think about it. Our problem is we want God to get in agreement with us, but we don't want to listen to what God's saying. And the truth of the matter is, God's not going to get in agreement with you. He's asking you to get in agreement with Him. You with me? Then if I get in agreement with God, then I'll be walking where God is. He's here, so I'll be there where He is. You with me? But if I get caught up in this, that, or the other, God can be standing beside of me and me not even know it. Not even recognizing. You understand? And I believe that God speaks to a lot of people and they don't know that it's the Lord. You think about the two guys on the road to Emmaus. Jesus walking with them, talking with them, opening the Scriptures, but they didn't know it was the Lord. And actually was telling them the Scriptures about Himself. But they didn't recognize Him. How many people are saying they want to see God, they want to hear God, these type things, but they never really give their attention to God. God's not in their imagination. Their imagination is on other things. I was just looking this morning at the 11th chapter of Genesis, how God said of the people of who were building the city and the tower of Babel, and how he came down to look to see what was going on. And what he noticed was the people were unified, all in agreement. And they all had the same plan. Now, that's pretty profound to get that many people together, and they all have the same plan. They're unified, and they're all speaking the same language. In other words, they're understanding one another. And God said about them, anything that they plan to do, they'll be able to do. They can't be stopped. That's my paraphrase, but you go back and check me out. Unified, communicating to where they understand one another, same language, and they have the same plan. Well, now, if that would work for natural men, why wouldn't it work with a person who is unified with God, has the same plan of God, and is speaking the same language of God? And I'm talking about spirit. Then could that be stopped? No. God says that all things are possible to him who believes. But the problem with believers is they don't believe. Somewhat of an oxymoron, you understand. You'd think a believer would believe. But we use it just as identification label. It's not that we truly believe in the Lord. The problem is we believe in ourselves and we're ignoring the Lord. He says, I'm here, where are you? This is what I want to do, where are you? People are talking about the revival. God says, I'm here. You're talking about a harvest to come. I'm telling you that the harvest could be reaped today if I had people to recognize me. Where are you? Where are you with the Lord? I'm not talking about salvation. That obviously it starts there by accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. But where is your walk with the Lord? Are you walking where the Lord's walking? You with me? He's here. But where are you? The invitation's come walk with me. Not for God to come walk with you, but for you to come walk with the Lord. He says, I'm here. But we want to say, come over here. No, he's not coming over there. He wants us to go where he is. You with me? Does this make any sense to you? I'm here, where are you? Okay? And I believe this is a message that the Lord's trying to convey. It's like he told Elisha, go to the brook Cherith, because there I've commanded the ravens to feed you, at the brook Cherith. So where is God? At the brook Cherith. Now Elijah has to make a choice. He could go to some other brook and then wonder about where's the food. God says, I'm here. Where are you? This is where I told you that I would sustain you, not there. You can sustain yourself naturally. You understand, you can succeed at the wrong thing, and many people do it. They pursue things and they're very successful. They become very wealthy. They accumulate a lot of things. But what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? And it's amazing how many people are selling out. They're going where God isn't. You know, I remember growing up, and Mama preached at us a lot. And she'd always tell us when we were teenagers and starting to date and starting to get out on our own driving, and she'd always say, don't you go where the Lord wouldn't come if the rapture were to take place. I want you to think about that. I mean, that was good counsel. I just didn't follow it all the time. You understand? And even when I didn't follow it, I'd be thinking, I hope the rapture doesn't take place because I know the Lord wouldn't come here. Isn't it amazing? You know you're where He's not. And the deception of staying there knowing you shouldn't be there. And how many people order their lives in a place they know it's not right, on a job they know that's not right, in a church they know that's not right, but they stay there. Recently I heard someone saying something about such and such a thing in the church, and pretty outlandish, and another person said, and you're still there? I thought, that's real good counsel. That's real good counsel. Do you want to be where God's name isn't? See, with Israel, God chose Jerusalem as the city and chose the temple that Solomon built to place His name there. So if you were going to get into the presence of God, to worship God, you had to go to that place. Thank God it's different today. We go to a person, okay? But you have to go where God's name is. And Israel's downfall is they didn't want to do that. So they would devise their own places of worship. And God would send prophets to warn them, and they wouldn't listen. The essence is God is saying, I am here in this temple in Jerusalem. I am not up there. And any worship outside of here will be to demons, not to God. Pretty strong, isn't it? I said that. Because if you're not worshiping where God is, if you're not worshiping where His name is, then you're under an influence. You're under a demonic influence. You're under something that's taking you away from God. It's a deception. All demons aren't murderers and rapists. Some of them are just little deceivers that'll convince you that this is a better idea than God's. And we've all experienced it. And it's up to us what we do with that. Are we going to go where the Lord is? Or are we going to go over here where the Lord is not? I believe there's a great and mighty work to be done in the land. I believe there's a great and mighty work to be done in the city. But I believe that we're going to have to hear God and obey God and do it God's way for the mighty work of God to get done. You can do all kinds of natural works, but I'm talking about the work of the Lord. I think about what a friend of mine told me years ago, and he went on a trip, a mission trip, and he was had his house up for sale, and he said the last thing he told his kids was, make sure you mow the lawn. Because people will be driving by. Look, be sure to mow the lawn. He told me, he said, when I got back, he said, I'm not exaggerating, he said, grass was knee deep. And he said, they met me and said, look at the garage door. We painted the garage door. We did this. We did that. He said, but I said, mow the lawn. And he said, when he said that, the Spirit of God spoke to him. He said, that's what's wrong with my people. they're doing all these other things out here, these things that they classify as good, but I said, mow the lawn. They're not doing what I've told them to do. Are you doing what God's told you to do? Are you in the place that God has ordained for you? Now see, the call of God on people's lives and the giftings of God, for the most part, is not in the church as far as a building goes. People think about you, the call of God, they think about standing behind some podium or something preaching. But for the most part, that's not what it is. God has called people into all walks of life. You understand? God may call you into law enforcement. God may call you as a fireman. God may call you as a teacher. God may call you just to work in a factory. That's not the issue. The issue is, are you where God wants you to be? That's where you'll be the happiest. That's where you'll be the most productive for the kingdom of God. Don't think about what people think. Don't measure yourself against people. Don't compare yourself to someone else. Start asking yourself, am I in a place where the Lord is? Am I in a position that I'm hearing God? If I'm not hearing the Lord, I need to check up on where I am. You with me? Pretty basic. And I can go on and on, but I don't think that would accomplish anything. I believe you've got the message. God says, I am here. Where are you? And God's place for you may be different than God's place for me. You understand? God's called me here. God's given me an assignment here. If I go somewhere else and there's 10,000 people and a $1 billion complex, I'll just miss God. Because I'm not where God is. So consequently, the only thing I'll be hearing from God is you're in the wrong place. That's the only thing I'm going to be hearing, and won't get further instruction until I get in the right place. Get in the place God wants you to be. And bloom where you're planted. It doesn't matter what the vocation is. It doesn't matter what the location is. But make sure that the Lord's there. So you can hear the Lord when He speaks. So you can have communion with the Lord. So you can operate your life with the wisdom and counsel of God. And then you'll find yourself doing the right things. Not a guessing game. I've had preachers to tell me, well, I'm going to go over here and if I get so many votes, then I'm just going to take that as the will of God. Don't even go there if God didn't tell you. Forget the votes. If you get 100% and God didn't tell you to go there, you just miss God. Because you're going to find that's not where the Lord's there for you. He's not there for you. You with me? I'm here. Where are you? Get in the presence of the Lord. That can be on the job. You can be in the presence of the Lord. You understand? Whatever you're doing, you can be in the presence of the Lord. See, God, I believe, strategically places us because of the influence that we have on other people. We have something unique that someone else may not be able to penetrate the hearts of those people. But God will place us in a position to where we have influence on people's lives. But if I'm in the wrong position, I'll be over here and people won't pay attention to me. But if I'm in the right position, it's a different story. I'm here. Where are you? Amen? That's the message. No use in just riding the horse, so to speak. Okay? You got something?